Okay, today's study is going to be out of Colossians 1, and the date for it is, the time of the number. This is study 93, and this is the 19th day of May, 2021, and man, the year's getting away. It seems like this gets faster and faster. And so we wound up going through, I think, at least part of verse 20 last time. So I'm going to read 20 again, and then we'll do 20 and 21 out of the King James, and then we'll drop down to 21 because we've got the fours and the ands and quite a lot here because it goes from one area to the, from one verse to the next with an and. Or if you can read the Koine Greek, it's, kia. And, I've learned that much in these studies. So verse 20 said this, and having made peace through the blood of his cross by him to reconcile all things unto himself by him, I say whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. So it pleased God that the Son did this. He manufactured this or fabricated this out of himself, we found back in verse 16 of chapter 1. And that nothing had to be added to it. You can, what was given to the Apostle Paul, if you take it and use it, then it should be to the will of the Godhead that those that were chosen will see and understand. And sometimes you talk to people, and if you're talking with a group or maybe just two or three, and you think somebody is really getting interested, and come to find out it may be somebody else in that group that does that. Now, Ron and I both have seen this take place in our witnessing to others about it. And, of course, that's all in the plan and purpose that it's our vocation that we do this. And vocation was only used in Scripture one time, and the Apostle Paul used it for what he is telling us now. So we normally think of a vocation as how we make a living. But Paul used it as the way you make your life for the coming time, not the time that you have now, but the coming time. And so use it like a vocation, like it's something that you chose to do for your life's work. And that is truly the way it needs to be looked at. So if you have come to understand what Christ did on the cross, and then what he did for us after he went back into heaven, awaiting the time that he would appear with his body, because he's just that head now, because we're to be part of the filling of that body of his. So here we are. And this is our vocation. This is the reason we're here. And this is kind of, as Paul Harvey would say, the rest of the story. So verse 21 goes on to say, and again, and you were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind, by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. So this is where we're going to start with our study tonight. And so I just read it in the King James Version, and I'll read my notes, and we'll get into Jack's part of it too. Jack and Melville's part, and carry on like we've been carrying on. And you, it says, or Paul says, that and you were sometimes alienated. And if you were alienated, that is the work of Satan. That is what he has done for us. And he has made us alienated from Christ. A lot of people says, well, you know, if you get out here and profess your sins, that ought to be enough. No, that's not enough. That's not the way the plan works. You have to have that understanding that it's the Son of God that had made all this possible, because he chose with the Father one day to say, I will do it. And praise God, he did it. He came back and took care of that so he could reconcile us back in to the body of, in to the family of God. And so we were without Christ and also enemies there. Enemies. We were enemies or foes in our minds, because we in ourselves just couldn't take the and get the understanding that was there so clearly for us in God's Word, because the Holy Spirit hadn't done its work. And it says it was done there in 21. It calls the wicked works. And the wicked works there is that's full of labor or working mischief and evil works. Yet or but now. And I always put the but in there, because 21 with the Apostle Paul, when you see the word now, a lot of times it just pops into my mind the but nows that he had put forth in his writings. Yet now, or but now, he reconciled. So you see, it's kind of like being in a ledger, or being in a book that needs to be equaled out. We were on the wrong side of the ledger before we got to know the Lord Jesus Christ. We were on the wrong side of the ledger, but see, he paid the price for us. And so we've been bought, and it was Christ who paid the ransom, and it was done by his blood. And, you know, we can't do it with our blood, but it was once done with the blood of animals, where you had an association with an animal by touching it or whatever under the law, and it would last for a year. But here he went to the cross one time, and he paid the ransom by his blood. And so we're going to read what Jack has left to share, and then we're going to look at Ephesians 2 for just a minute. And it says this, and you, once being alienated and enemies in the mind, in the works by the wicked. And to bring it down to the more modern day English, and you once being alienated and enemies in the mind and the works by the wicked. And Jack said this is speaking to the human part of his creation. And Paul reminds them that we're once annihilated and therefore, thereby enemies in mind. That is to say, these Colossians, through alienation, considered themselves enemies of the truth. And this results in wicked works and reinforced their mindset of alienation. How great it was that God effected their salvation. Satan surely must have been writhing in his loss of these beloved ones. And then Jack says, look at this. Look at Ephesians 2, verses 2 and 3, and then verse 12. So let's go back to Ephesians 2. It's page 1767, if you have a companion Bible, if I put it down right. No, Ephesians 2. Sorry, 1762. My 2s and 7s got
happens to me.
Messed up because I done these notes 2 or 3 weeks ago, so my writing is kind of goes bad after a few days.
Spoils.
Okay, yeah, it spoils. It says, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Okay, let's go to verse 12. And it says that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Now, how awesome is that we can look back and realize what God has done for us in terms of using His Son to pay the debt that we couldn't pay for ourselves. And that is just something that sometimes kind of blows me away. Even read it time and time again, that still is the way it is. And that's what they agreed to before they ever created anything. And so that was maybe aeons ago. Who knows? So let's go back to Colossians and look at verse 22, 1:22. Now he hath reconciled or brought us from one side of the ledger to the other side of the ledger, that we can be adopted sons of our Creator. 22. It says, in the body of His flesh, through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. Verse 22. In the body of his flesh, God gave us an earthly kinsman. He laid his glory aside, and he took the form of a one cell being placed in the womb of Mary and came forth as flesh and blood. That's how we could see God. Otherwise, we would be like the Apostle Paul struck down on the Damascus Road. We'd be blind, hoping that somebody would come along that could heal us and make us see again. But here we are, through God's earthly kinsman, through death. And this is your sin and my sin, price-wise, to enable him, Christ, to present or to introduce or to unveil you and I holy and unblameable and unreprovable in God's sight. Because see, when we were moved from one side of the ledger to the other side of the ledger, then we become an asset rather than a cost. The cost now has been paid. And now,
bought back.
We've been brought back. We're brought back to the right side of the ledger. And we're that way in him as part of his body. Now, there's several places here that in 22 that let me, oh, I gotta turn the page, I'm sorry. And we'll get into Jack's part of this. Okay. So in verse 22, Jack says, now but he reconciled in the body of the flesh of him through the death to present you holy and unblameable and irreproachable in the sight of him the Father. And to bring it down to the more modern English, but now he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and irreproachable in his sight. And here's Jack's notes. He said the reference is to the present administration of God. That is the administration, or the actually the dispensation that is in effect at the time of the writing of this letter, and also that administration or dispensation is still in effect. Christ reconciled all his fleshly body through his death. This is in order that he may present you, the believer, to be holy and unblameable. The believer of his body must be unblameable. No wonder that we should walk circumspectly. See Ephesians 5:6 and that part of it. And he goes on. There's another part of this. It said, it is so easy to incur disfavor and blame without intending to. What is right in one eye may not be to the other. Human nature being what it is will keep us from perfection and lay us at blame's door far too often. A certain selfishness will cause us to be careless and just blamable for a slip or a wrong impression or for cutting a corner or for being careless to praise His name. Irreproachable may be easier to understand for some. Reproach is often sought for his bought one. All the more must that one strive to serve him and to please him. The blame or reproach must be that judged or that is judged in his sight. And so we're going to look at Leviticus, Ephesians, and 1 Corinthians with this first scripture. Okay, let's get into that. Let's go to Leviticus first, and we're going to look at chapter 20, verse 26, on page 162. So if you haven't been back there for a while, it is chapter 20 of Leviticus, page 162, and it's verse 26 that Jack asked us to look at. Okay. And it says this in verse 26 of chapter 20 of Leviticus, "And you shall be holy unto me, for I, the Lord, am holy, and have severed you from other people, that you should be mine, or I have taken you away from others, that you would be looked upon as mine." Now let's go to Ephesians 1:4, two places in Ephesians. So we're going a long ways one way and way back the next. Let's see, let me get out of Philippians. We're going to go to Ephesians. We're going to look at 1:4. And that's on page 1760. If you have a companion Bible. "According as he hath chosen us in him." When? Before the foundation of the world.
Talked to a guy in Southern California about this very verse today.
Did you?
Yep, had a good conversation with him.
"That we should be holy and without blame before him in love." Truly. That is a great verse of scripture. And to realize that as God is holy, we can be seen now by him as being blameless by what his son did. Let's go to Ephesians 5:27. Just three or four pages over, 1768. And we're going to look at chapter 5, verse 1769, really. "That he might present it to himself a glorious church or assembly, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish." You know, when he was accepted from the high priest, man's animals that were to be slaughtered and their blood was to be used, they were not to have a blemish either. They were to be looked upon as being perfect in that way. Too. So even in the law, it goes back to, if it be the blood of Christ or the blood of the animals, that it was to be not to be blemished in any way. So let's go back a little bit from Ephesians back to 1 Corinthians and look at the first chapter and look at verse 8. That is on page 1696. I believe I got that one right. Yeah. Verse 8. It's talking about let's just go back and read 7. So that you come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, see, we went back one administration, or we went back one dispensation from where we are in Colossians, we're back in Corinthians now, and waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ, or Christ Jesus. So, we've got to recognize that in the dispensation or this administration, you have the two different things that your hope. It's one hope in the former dispensation was the heavenly city coming down from God out of heaven. And this one is to be part of the body of Christ and to be with Christ. So you see the difference there in the Father's part of this thing and the Son's part. And we also realize and understand that the reason probably we have these 2,000 years or so after the death of Christ, or after the giving of Paul of this wonderful truth, that there had to be a time there that it could be presented to the world. And so that's what we were talking about a while ago with our vocation. That we now have a job to do. And it's not only to walk circumspectly, but also to give out this truth that had been laid on the shoulders of the Apostle Paul to give to us, that we might give it to others also. Verse 23. Let's go back to the King James. Verse 23 said, if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. 23. And this verse starts with the word if. And that means at least. The expectation is ye continue in the faith to obey and believe. Grounded. It says they're grounded in love and settled. See, there's two different words used there, so they mean something, but they interlock each other. Grounded and settled. Grounded in love and settled to stand steadfast in your hope. We have a new hope. And that hope is to be part of the body of Christ and looking for an out resurrection and the appearing. And be not moved away from the hope of the gospel. Literally, a return of the Lord, which you have heard, which was preached to every creature or person which is under heaven or on earth, whereof I, Paul, am made or have been chosen or ordained a minister of God. And we're going to look at two or three places here. Let's read first what Jack says about verse 23. If indeed you continue in the faith founded and firm and not being moved away from the hope of the good message which you have heard, which was proclaimed in all creation, which under heaven, of which became I, Paul, the servant. Let's read it in the more modern English. If indeed you continue in the faith, founded and firm, and not being moved away from the hope of the good message, which you have heard, which was proclaimed to all creation which is under heaven, of which I, Paul, became servant. And you know, I think this probably goes back to the time when creation, or when Genesis, early, the first few verses that we have in Genesis, was being laid out. Because when God created the stars, He laid out His plan and purpose in the stars and give man the opportunity and the ability to see and read these things in the stars. And I don't know where you've ever been involved in the study of the Maseroth or not, and what God has laid out in the stars, but they were done in three books. And there wasn't anywhere on earth that you could not go and read them all. They were there. They were laid open to mankind. And He chose to forget them.
Let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and for years.
Yeah, it's used for other purposes now.
Yep.
It's not used for that specific thing. So the if here, and this is the reason we see the things which is under heaven. Because the stars, you know, we say, well, they're out there and there's some of them way, way, way yonder. But even beyond that, it's still the bubble. We're still in the bubble. I don't know what's out there. But I do know this, that sin could only go so far. Satan could only go so far. And so that was done for, to keep Satan in his place for a while. And then he's going to be let back in to the atmosphere. So when you read these things, we need to keep a mindset on what's being said here, that we can see that it was proclaimed to all creation under heaven. There wasn't anyone who couldn't see it. Animal or man or whoever, whatever. I'm sure animal could not read it, but man had the ability to do that. So Jack says the if here is not so much suggesting a conditional state of the Colossians' faith. It is more the assumption that those who continue in the truth had in reality embraced the mystery, and are aware of their place in his body. They will be those who are not moved away from the hope of the good message. Paul indeed has been in many places and spoken to many types of nationalities of people. We must not assume that he himself spoke with every creature, but that he, Paul, was a plan of God, was of the plan of God to reach all of his human creation with the message of truth. We do not know what Paul was not. We do know that Paul was not taking the leisurely method of fulfilling the commission of Ephesians 3:9. And it says also, see, Ephesians 3:17 through 19. So here we go. We've got two places to go back to Ephesians in 23. Ephesians 3:9. And you say, boy, he's going back to Ephesians a lot. Well, that's true.
That's because we're in Colossians.
But the fact is, you know, in covering this, we didn't spend an hour on each verse of Scripture, so we went through it, and like we've been doing, getting three or four or five verses at the time, and it seemed like we were kind of hung up on this, but no, we're not hung up on it. We just need to see what's there and talk about it a little bit and be able to bring it back up some when we need to look back to it, because I'm sure we all don't have photographic memory. I wish I did sometimes, but I know I don't. Verse 9, Ephesians 3 says this, and this is our vocation now, to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery which from the beginning of the world, or ages past, if you want to put it that way, hath been hid in God, who created all things by Christ Jesus. Full stop in that verse. Now let's go to 17 through 19. Was that what I said? 23, yeah, 3, 17, 18, and 19. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. And it's by his faith. That you being rooted and grounded in love, that you may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height of the love of God, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. That we might know him in a glorious way, a glorious way. How much time we got left, Ron?
It's 9:14.
Okay, let's go to 24. Paul was made a minister of this truth that we have, the hope of the gospel, which you have heard. Now, the hope there was the hope you heard. What you could see was of the other administration or the other dispensation. Okay. 24 says this, who now rejoice in my suffering? Paul says the reason he was made a minister and now he rejoices in his sufferings for you and to fill up that which is behind the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the assembly, full stop, or the church. So you see, Paul got placed on his shoulders the afflictions that Christ would have borne if he had been allowed by the Father to do that. But that wasn't the way it was planned. That was the reason that when Paul got his sight back, that God told the man that was he had chose to pray for Paul to get his sight back, he said, he's a chosen vessel to me.
Amen.
And being a chosen vessel, he was chosen when we were chosen, Paul was. But for a different, specific thing. Okay, let me read my notes. Verse 24 says, who now, talking about Paul? We're talking about AD 61, 62. In that time frame. He said, I rejoice in my sufferings for you and to fill up and that to fill up is anthanapleru. I guess that which is behind of the afflictions or the tribulations of Christ. He says it was the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake. So he was going to complete that. He was going to fill up that hadn't been put on Christ. He says, for his body's sake, which is the church or the assembly. And so we'll go to what Jack wrote in 24. In the Koine, it says, now I am rejoicing in the sufferings over you, and I am filling up the things behind of the tribulations of Christ in the flesh of me over the body of him who is the assembly. Well, hey.
You know, if you didn't really understand the mystery, that verse would be really hard for you to digest.
Yeah. Now I am rejoicing, it says, in the sufferings over you and filling up the things behind of the tribulations of Christ in my flesh over his body, who is the assembly. And so we realize that whatever sufferings, Jack says, whatever sufferings was necessary to bring the Colossians to the truth is a source of rejoicing for Paul and those that were with him, his fellows. He can suffer like Christ did to bring many to him. This is not to equate his sufferings to the sufferings on the cross. Paul is not trying to claim that he suffered in the precise fashion as Christ, but he is rejoicing that he can continue in the same path which Christ trod. And he says, see Philippians 1:29. What sufferings Paul incurred as he ministers to the Colossians and others, his body must endure to fulfill his commission, what he was chosen to do. He is speaking of reversals, spiritual anguish, and the duress on the body. Paul speaks as one experiencing the truth of Romans 12:1. So we got two things here I think we're going to look at. First off, let's look at Philippians 1:29 because we're that close to it. Philippians 1:29, and Jack brought it up and says we need to look at it. And so let's look at it. And it's on page 1775 if you have a companion Bible. 1:29, it says, for unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. So you see, there's some suffering that goes on even with all of those who believe. We don't have it cut and dried for us. We have problems. We get sick. We get the COVID-19s. We get all these things that comes along like everybody else does. So we still have some sufferings to do. But let's go back to Romans 12 in verse 1. Let's see, I ain't far enough back. In Romans 12, that's on page 1686, if you have a companion Bible. And it's 12:1. It says, I beseech you, therefore, brother, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. Romans 12:1-2. And so with that, I suppose we're pretty close to being out of time. And there's a good little bit that goes with 25, and so we'll make it through 24 and stop there, and we'll pick it up with that as we go on. And get through the first chapter. Now there's 29 verses, I believe. Yeah, 29 verses in Colossians. So we might be able to finish the first chapter next time. But if we don't, we'll stop and pick it up and do like we've been going. We'll do what we can when we can.
Amen.
And because these things are things that we need to get infused in our mind to where we can use them in conversations that we may have with others without really having to do it, going back just word by word, because lots of times people just won't take the time to do that. You have to kind of give them an overview, and maybe to begin with. And so I think that's a good way we can work that. So thank you for being with us, and I know I kind of drug it out, but I've been working hard the last 3 or 4 days, and that's a little more than I've usually been used to doing. And I'm about ready to go home.
Well, when you go through, these verses are really, they're really information laden, and you can't rush them anyway.
No, you can't do that.
You need to look at everything that goes with them so that we don't miss anything.
If we don't have time to do that, then we're in a heap of trouble.
Amen.
Sure enough. So thank you, and God bless you, and continue to pray for me. I've been feeling a good bit better and getting more done than I expected I would get done for a while. So after my wife will be gone Monday, 4 years.
Yep.
And tending to her for 7 years. That makes at least 11 years that I've been having to go back and do things that I let go. And so it's hard to get back in just a few weeks what you let go for 11 Amen. Years. So think about that for a little bit. But pray for me that we'll continue to get things back in order. God bless.